You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Coming up, we're sitting down with two incredible performers from the Verdi Chorus, and they are partners on stage and in life. And I get to talk about my incredible experience at the Pasadena Playhouse seeing Ragtime, which has been extended till the 9th. So go see it now.
It's Curtains Up on another episode of West of Broadway, a celebration of musical theater in Los Angeles. I'm radio host and theater enthusiast Lara Scott, along with my partner, celebrity publicist and theater veteran Will Armstrong.
Hello.
Say hi.
I've had so much coffee.
Well, it's a rainy day here in L.A. Were you woken up last night by the thunder?
Thunder and lightning,
the lightning. There was a light show, and it was so funny because, you know, I've tried to do creative tweets my whole life. I simply tweeted thunder and lightning in L.A. and got like 20 retweets. All these lights. Like, it's crazy. And this is a day that definitely calls for coffee.
Yes.
And we're super excited because we get to talk about the Verdi Chorus again today. We spoke with
Anne-Marie Ketchum,
who is the founding artistic director. I mean, she heads up the whole thing. We spoke with her a couple episodes back, and now the Verdi Chorus is back. This spring marks the start of the 36th season of the Verdi Chorus, who will present their spring concert, and I hope I'm saying this right, L'Amore e la Vita. Love and life.
That was great.
It's like I'm Italian.
Yeah,
for two performances only at the First United Methodist Church in Santa Monica on April 6th and 7th. Now, Anne-Marie, by the way, is calling this program the rom-com of opera, and it's featuring selections from two Verdi operas. There's a Bizet in there, Puccini, and some others that I can't pronounce.
I am like racking my brain for some funny opera rom-com puns, but I'm coming up blank.
We need our friend Amanda Salas, who's the queen of puns, to help us out with
exactly.
that. But you know what? We're going to be talking to Jamie Chamberlain and her husband, Nathan Graner. Jamie Chamberlain is one of the four guest soloists featured in these performances. She's been praised for her shimmering tones and starstruck vulnerability. And her husband is equally acclaimed. He's a tenor, one of the original American tenors.
Yeah.
So without any further ado, let's welcome Jamie Chamberlain and Nathan Graner to West of Broadway.
Yay! Jamie and Nathan.
Hi, thank you.
Yay.
Thank you.
Thank you both for taking the time to speak with us. I have to know, and I please excuse me for being so inquisitive right off the bat. You guys are you're performers on stage in the same show, but you're also couples in life. I'm dying to know how. In my fantasy, you guys met. It was a showmance that has just continued on.
It's true. It is so true.
That makes me so happy.
Yeah. So how did you meet?
We actually met.
Go ahead, babe.
Honey, hi. Sorry, we're all in different locations, but we actually met singing out in Palm Springs, and we were singing the most romantic opera of all times, which is Romeo and Juliet.
Of course,
that's right.
Well, okay. So, the opera, yes, but the story. I was just thinking, I think I saw something. It's like a 14-year-old girl and a 17-year-old man, and it's 3 days and six people die. It's like...
okay, a lot going on there.
True.
Rajiv.
But okay.
It's the crazy thing is that it's opera, and the Gounod version of this piece really actually calls for people who have, you know, these good, rich, solid voices.
Mm-hmm.
So we can get away with, you know, being a little bit more on the mature side.
Absolutely.
As far as singers are concerned, just to be able to sing the piece itself.
Oh, yeah, and that's across the board for opera in general, because many of the characters that we will be tasked to play will be, you know, 16, 17, and you've got 30, 35, 40, 50-year-olds in opera playing these people because of the level of difficulty of singing these roles, that you can't sing these roles until you're actually physically mature, which is one cool thing about opera.
Absolutely. I totally get that.
And what led you to the Verdi Chorus? How did you connect with Anne-Marie? Have you guys known each other for a while?
Yeah, she's been following my career for quite a while, actually. And it was just one of those things where we'd sort of been looking for an opportunity to work together. I really respect and admire what Anne-Marie has done with the Verdi Chorus. And I think when Nathan and I got together, we sort of became a couple and people didn't really know we were together, but then all of a sudden we started getting hired together.
Right.
Isn't that interesting how that worked out, honey?
Yeah, it was, you know, we were literally friends, but, you know, but from the get-go, she was a true artist.
Right.
And I really, really found that amazing just to have a scene partner that was a great artist as well as great person. And then we just started getting hired, you know, for this gig at a public part or private parties. And then we started getting roles together in concerts. And that just kind of helped us be together as our courtship kind of fulminated and culminated in last year singing with the Verdi Chorus, where I asked Jamie to marry me in the concert.
Oh, that's so romantic. Oh.
It was pretty incredible.
That's beautiful. Well, you know, we heard that Anne-Marie is calling this program for the spring the rom-com of opera. So having a real-life couple as part of that is perfect for it. Can you each talk about what you'll be singing and maybe kind of set it up for us a little bit?
Sure.
Sure. Go ahead.
Saturday, April 6th and 7th, the show is titled L'Amor e la Vita at the First United Methodist Church of Santa Monica. Really nice venue. It's kind of in the heart of all the burgeoning stuff that's going on in Santa Monica.
Sure.
The show itself, we're singing with two other people, other soloists, Danielle Marcel Bond and Roberto Gomez. We'll be doing songs from I Vespri Siciliana, Erinani, so Verdi, Don Ifetti, Don Pasquale. I'll be singing the 9 high C aria, but I put 10 high Cs and a high D.
Atta
in
boy.
It.
Show off.
From Kaido. Lakme, the Pearl Fishers. I mean, it's like super, super old school music theater.
Old school, but in a way, I can see where Anne-Marie would call it rom-com of opera, because all the Donizetti we're doing is the wonderful comic Donizetti. And Donizetti is an Italian bel canto composer, and certainly there are serious pieces. Actually, one of his most famous serious operas, Lucia di Lammermoor, that was one of the first roles we ever did together. I was Lucia and Nathan was Edgardo. And that was with Pacific Opera Project back in 2017, before we were engaged at the Verdi Chorus.
Right.
But these Donizetti pieces that we're offering for the Verdi Chorus on April 6th and 7th are really the lighthearted, kind of more popular sounding tunes of the day. So that they would have been the thing that everyone went to have a great time. And, you know, all the peasants would be eating oranges and throwing the peels on the floor. Back in the old timey theaters, in the in the back of the theater, standing room only.
In the romantic period,
exactly. Do not do that in Santa Monica.
Yeah, don't do that in
Leave
the church.
Your oranges at home.
You leave the oranges at home. Make the juice, drink it.
Exactly.
And you know, Jamie, I love that we're Instagram friends now. Everybody follow Jamie at Darling Diva JMC. And it was so fun because there are so many cute pictures of you and Nathan. You guys are the most beautiful couple. And I love that you were sharing about different shows that you've seen. So it sounds like you're a big fan of opera and theater, as well as being a very talented performer in that space.
Oh, absolutely. I started out in musical theater, so it's got a special place in my heart. I was, you know, singing along with the Evita soundtrack to Patti LuPone.
Yes.
So I grew up. And so we always try to get out and support our friends and colleagues. I mean, we've really developed a great relationship with all of the companies in the community here in LA, and we're just so grateful to be a part of this thriving, vibrant music scene.
Well, yes, and we're hoping we can get out to see you Saturday, April 6th, and then Sunday, April 7th, First United Methodist Church in Santa Monica for the Verdi Chorus Spring Concert. You can get tickets by phone at 800-838-3006 or online at verdichorus.org. And I know, which cities are you guys in right now? You guys were in two different places.
Yeah, I'm up in San Francisco singing a new opera called Today It Rains by Laura Kaminsky. It's about Georgia O'Keeffe and her trip from New York to Santa Fe, and in that, she's discovering her true artist self.
Sure.
That might be the best answer ever for what are you up to today?
I know, right? It's going to be such an exciting premiere.
Yes. And then, Jamie, what are you doing?
I'm here holding down the fort.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm here holding down the fort in North Hollywood.
Wonderful.
And I'm in our home studio right now, and I'm actually working on our music for our Verdi Chorus concert today.
Yay.
Fantastic. Well, please give Anne-Marie Ketchum our love and congratulations on this production, and we're so excited for you, and we hope you both break legs.
Yes.
And have wonderful performances.
Thank you
so much. Thanks for your time. We really appreciate your time. And, you know, we know your show is predominantly about Broadway theater and music theater, but this is the music theater of the day. And you know, we really love the aspect of being able to cross over both from opera and into Broadway as well, and appreciate your time.
Exactly. Well, really. It's our
100%.
Absolute
and it's
pleasure.
All about telling a story for us too. So that's where the line runs through every form of music theater.
Exactly. And here we are in Hollywood, where it can, whether it's movie musicals or here at the Pantages Theater, or you, Jamie, coming from a musical theater background and sharing your talents and skills with the Verdi Chorus. Like, I mean, musical theater touches us everywhere, you know, and it's
yeah, what,
and this show is all about celebrating it. And so thanks for celebrating that
with
us.
Thank you. We're celebrating you guys. Jamie Chamberlain and Nathan Greiner.
Yay. Thank you so much, guys.
So nice to talk with you.
Oh, nice to talk with you too. Have a wonderful night.
You
bye.
Too.
Thank you. Cheers now. Bye.
So sweet.
So sweet. I love all the different projects they're involved in. I love that did start with a showmance, Will.
I know. That wasn't rude that I just
don't. I've never seen you so excited.
I was like, you're like, do you want to start off with the questions?
And spill
I was like.
Spill the tea. Come on. The tea has been spilled.
I hope I didn't catch them off guard.
No. You know what? And they're newlyweds, too.
Oh, it's so nice.
You know, hopefully they will always have that glow and be excited to talk about it. But mm-hmm. I just think they have a wonderful story. And I really want to try to go to this. It just sounds wonderful.
Absolutely.
So, okay, Ragtime, switch. Switching gears back to straight musical theater,
yep.
Pasadena Playhouse. I got to interview Bryce Charles,
yes.
who stars in the show, a little while back. And I could just tell, you could just tell sometimes when you talk to people, they know that they're involved with something that's extraordinarily special.
Mm-hmm.
And after talking to my friend Melanie Hooks, who's also been on the show, she's a big time theater reviewer out in Pasadena, she said that Ragtime is the standard by which all other LA shows this season will be judged. Do you agree?
Absolutely.
Yay.
It was so much fun. Okay, the Pasadena Playhouse. Like, that place does not kid around. Like, there's so many friends of the pod. I was invited to the show by Charles Chatelain, who was one of our very first guests way back when.
Yes, he was getting ready for his show.
Yes, mm-hmm. And he was on our episode where we talked about Into the Woods.
Mm-hmm.
And so he invited me to come see Ragtime, and he was so proud to share this performance with me, and I didn't know what to expect, and it was not what I remember from Broadway. It was a reinterpretation that was so surprisingly sweet and beautiful and poignant and effective. Like, it was the use of staging and set design and lighting and music and just the way it was cast was just spectacular. It was wonderful. And the audience, Alfred Molina was in the audience, Anna Camp from Pitch Perfect. Who else was there? Wilson Cruz. You know, I love to like start
celebrity
like,
spot.
But,
yeah.
But I think one of my favorite things was that Valerie Perry, another friend of the pod, who we got to interview when she was in The World Goes Round.
Right, the Cantor and Ebb review.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. She played what was her name? Goldman. Emma Goldman, who's the anarchist, and she has the most amazing second act song. And did like because when I saw Ragtime on Broadway, Emma Goldman was like this big, like. Form of woman, like she was like really commanded the stage. Well, Valerie is just this slip of a woman, but her presence and her performance, and when she opened her mouth and she sang in the second act, it was just incredible. She's such a talent and so beautiful, and it's so powerful. And then the other thing, when I saw it on Broadway, like Cole House was great, like the mother role was like, and these the cast of the people who played those roles were fantastic, but like. breakout roles that I didn't even expect. Like the guy who played Little Brother was phenomenal. Wait, I have his name right here. It was Dylan Saunders. I didn't even realize that the role was as layered and as incredible as it was. It's such a powerful story about racism and classes in America and how and the awakening of culture here and humanity, like on such a base level, and how we treat each other, and it was just really powerful and really amazing, and such an incredible experience to share with the audience. I wanted to say one thing.
Mm-hmm.
I love performing. I love being on stage. It is really difficult for me to be in an audience, and I will tell you why. I have incredible parking karma. I can find a parking space like nobody's business, but I will sit next to every single person with a nose whistle, with a bag full of hard candies, with maybe they have a knee brace, or this one time I sat next to this woman who had her arm spasmed and she had popcorn and she threw it all over me. Like, I have the worst luck. When we went to Cats, there was a couple sitting behind us that sang every song. Like, I have terrible audience karma, and I'm just realizing
maybe
this.
I shouldn't sit with you anymore.
No, actually,
you sit me not with him.
You keep me from saying something because you live your life with such grace that I am always like, what would Lara do? And let you just take it and you just let people be. And I just want to like turn around and be like, can you please? And it's just like, so anyway, my whole point is the woman that, like, I sat in the balcony for the Pasadena Playhouse, and it is incredible because it's at a pitch where every seat is a good seat.
It's a great venue.
But the woman who sat in front of me, her back hurt, so she leaned forward. So she leaned right in my purview, and I'm really tall, so I slouched down so the people can see behind me, and I was stuck behind this woman who leaned forward, so I had the only obstructed view seat in the entire theater.
But it sounded great from what you could hear.
It sounded amazing. It was incredible. And Bryce was incredible. What a voice. What a performance. What a heavy role. Like, I don't know if you people know it. I'm not going to give any spoilers. But she has to make some real tough choices.
Yeah.
And it's just... It's
heartbreaking.
Yeah. It's really heartbreaking. And but it's a wonderful, important story.
Yeah.
Especially with like racism and stuff like that, and how like it's still things that we face. Like race, I don't know if you know this, Lara, but racism isn't solved yet.
Right, you think it would be at this point in time, right? 100 years after the story was said.
So it's important for us to.
We're in that transitional time.
It's important for us to continue these discussions until we can, as a culture, learn. You know, and it just, but it's a powerful, beautiful piece written by Terrence McNally, who's just a genius. And I'm so happy that this story is still being reinterpreted for, and Melanie, I saw Melanie and she gave me a big hug and a kiss. And she was, we got to share a moment about how much we loved this production.
Yeah.
And it was great. And it got extended to the 9th.
Right. I can't remember the last time that happened. Wait, it happened at the cupcake
Theater.
Yes, it happened
Dream
with Dream Girls, but this is the second time.
And
yeah.
Right now, I think Mamma Mia was playing at the Dream Girls recently. I mean, at the Cupcake Theater recently, and we missed it, but that got extended. I want him to be a guest. The guy who owns Cupcake Theater, I'm going to call him, and we're going to get him.
We're going to track him down.
Yeah.
We're going to bring him in.
Because he, like, introduces... I had friends go to see Mamma Mia recently, and they're just like, what a performance. In this little black box theater, it just has so much heart. We're so lucky to be in Los Angeles with all this incredible theater and all this incredible talent. Yeah. I say that all the time, but I stand behind it. Yeah. I stand behind it.
Well, what's coming up next at Pasadena Playhouse? Because depending on when we can get this up, it may or may not. May or may not still be on.
Oh, I'm getting it up tonight. Okay. It's going up tonight. So people, get ready for it. But yeah, no, Nia Vardalos, she's doing a play. And it's, you know Nia from
My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Well, she's doing, it's called Tiny Beautiful Things. And it is, I know nothing about this, except for that it's a play about like a broken woman who's finding the courage to take on the questions which have no answers.
I'd like to find the answers to those questions that have no answers. I think Nia can do it.
Yeah.
I've heard her speak and she's incredible.
And, from what I gather, the director of Hamilton, what's his name? Thomas Kail. He is the director of this straight play, which is going to be in Pasadena, and it's coming up. Let me see. It's in, oh gosh. gosh, when is it? April. April 10th to the 13th.
So what a time to be alive.
Yeah.
And experiencing theater in L.A.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that, Will.
My
pleasure. It sounds like an incredible experience.
Yeah.
And thank you. Thank you for joining us here on West of Broadway. You can reach out to us, especially if you own the Cupcake Theater. We'd love to, we'd love to hear from everybody. I'm Lara Scott Media on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
And across all platforms, I'm Will Armstrong, PR. And if you are looking for us, you can always find us just west of Broadway.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.